Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
He sat down to rest there on Jacob's well. A woman passed by his way. She didn't leave like she came. She ran through Samaria. This they heard her say, he gave me water, water from the well, and I will never thirst again. He saved my soul from hell. The river of mercy flows from his throne of grace. I must go and tell about the water at the well. I was in the dry, barren desert, hopelessly lost, so far from the well. But in the midst of my despair, the Savior came and found me there. He gave me living water, and I've just gotta go and tell. 'Cause he gave me water, water from the well, and I will never thirst again. He saved my soul from hell. A river of mercy flows from his throne of grace. I must go and tell, about the water at the well. You may be standing where you've never stood before. Your soul is in need of refreshing that only comes from the Lord.
Then they carried Surely they thought that this would be the end of this man, the end of this man. But on that third and glorious day, God came and rolled the stone away. He rose from the dead because he loved me. Died on the cross, was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known, has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name, he loves me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all because he loved me, because he loved me.
2 Samuel chapter number 7, and I'll start reading. I'd love to read the whole chapter, and we'll make references back and forth throughout the sermon, but for the sake of time, I will just read verses number 18, maybe through the end of the chapter. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house, and for the great and for a great while to come. And it is, and is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, thou hast done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God. There is none like thee, and neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for himself a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible, for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. I hate getting old. I cannot see these words. The print is just way too little. Let me pull it up here where I can see it. I'm afraid so. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word thou hast spoken according to thy servant and according to his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said, and let thy name be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee a house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true. And thou hast promised this goodness unto thy people. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of the Lord, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord, hast spoken it, and with thy blessings let thy house of thy servant be blessed forever. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we thank you for this privilege you've given us to stand and to try to preach the word of God. Now, Father, I pray that you would do what I cannot do, And Lord, I pray that you would preach this morning or this afternoon through me. Use me, dear Lord, as your servant. And Father, I pray that, Lord, that folks would see and understand the necessity of spending time with you and of talking to you. Now, Father, I pray that you would just have your will and your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to look back at verse number 18 where the Bible says that then went King David in and sat before the Lord. And I want to talk about this a little bit tonight. Sitting in God's presence. Sitting in God's presence. This morning we had something amazing happen here. God's presence became real and powerful, and it became something that people had to recognize and people had to respond to. The presence and the power of God. And I submit to you that services like what we had today should be going on in our own personal heart and life on a daily basis. If you and I would choose to spend a little time with God, then I guarantee you that God would meet with us on a personal level. And then when we come in the house of God, the Lord would lift us all up today together. I was thinking this afternoon about the services this morning, how that we were made to sit together with the Lord in heavenly places this morning. And I thought about when I go home sometime, most of the time, I sit in my easy chair and I get down every now and then and I pull that lever and my feet slides up to about level with my head. And that's what God did for us this morning. He pulled the lever and allowed us to get into the heavenlies and sit a while with Him. And I look forward to those times when God does that. But here in the Word of God, we see that David is going to spend time with the Lord. And as I watch him and think about the context of this chapter, and I think about how that the first three verses, David is talking to Nathan. And David says to Nathan, I've got this thing on my heart. I want to build a house for God. I want to build him a house. It's not right that he still dwells in tents and in tabernacles. We should build him a house. And Nathan said, hey, you go ahead. God be with you. Nathan did what a lot of preachers do sometimes. They give advice without praying first. They give advice without seeking God's counsel. First, Nathan said, yeah, go ahead and do it. And later on, God said, I don't want him to do it, Nathan. Go back and tell him this. And then he begins in verses number 4. And all the way down to verse number 18, we have God talking to Nathan and giving Nathan a message for David. And then in verse 18, through the end of the chapter, we have David communing with God. And as I thought about that, I thought about here we have a whole chapter where the man of God is fellowshipping with the king. Wouldn't it be great if you and I would do that in our personal lives? I want us to notice three things about sitting in God's place, presence. First of all, it's a comfortable place. It's a comfortable place. David didn't seem to be agitated. God wasn't agitated. They were just talking back and forth in the presence of the Lord. It was a comfortable place. I love the imagery of these verses where David went and sat in the presence of the Lord and just sat there enjoying the presence of God. I don't think a lot of people enjoy God's presence much anymore. I was watching as the Lord blessed. I saw a lot of people crying. I saw a lot of people laughing. Usually when the Lord gets a hold of me, I somehow or another laugh. I don't know why. I make myself feel silly sometimes, but I just get to laughing and can't stop. And then I saw people standing up with their hands raised, praising the Lord. Saw people coming down to do business with God and to talk to Him. And it's wonderful how God works in the heart of His children. But I also looked out across the audience and I saw some who were fidgeting. I saw some with their head down. I saw some that wasn't seeming to get what everybody else was getting. And I thought, dear Lord, a lot of people don't want to spend time with you, but they ought to. That's where our strength comes from. That's where The joy of the Lord is made real, is in His presence. And outside of His presence, we're just only playing at worship. But when we allow Him to come down and to meet with us, He reaches down and grabs a hold of us, and we reach up and grab a hold of Him, then God is going to do something in the midst. One thing I noticed was that David and the Lord was unhurried by time. They were unhurried by time. They spent a whole chapter fellowshipping together. Unhurried by time. A lot of people I know, they want a form. They want a form, and they want it to coincide to a certain time. We're going to pray at 9. We're going to do this at 10. We're going to do that at 11. The choir's going to sing for about 22.8 seconds, and then the preacher's going to get up for 32.4 seconds. We're going to have about a 5-minute invitation, and then we're going to be able to get in line before everybody else gets out of church. When we come into the presence of God, we ought to be unhurried by time. I get tickled when we went to church in Roanoke. We would get out of church. We'd drive by some churches and be nobody there, no cars there at all. They already got out maybe 15, 20 minutes ago. But we'd drive by the black churches. You can still hear them singing. They hadn't even got to the preaching yet. They were still singing, and I thought about that. When God's presence comes down, why do we hinder Him by restraining Him to a form? Why do we restrain Him by looking at our watches? I think it would be a good thing for the people of God, and I would be all for it, Brother Melvin, if you set up two baskets out in the front, one for people's watches and the other for people's cell phones. I think that would be a wonderful thing to do, because then maybe we can concentrate on the Spirit of God blessing our souls. Unrestrained by time. You heard that, Glenda. Unrestrained. I had to take another dig. I'm sorry. Unrestrained by time, or unhurried by time. And then unrestrained by ceremony. David was the king of Israel. But when David sat in the presence of God, he ceased to be the king of Israel. And he became subject to the King of Kings. And I believe, dear friends, sometimes we allow ceremony to stand in our way. I'm Deacon so-and-so. And so I don't really have to humble myself to pray. I'm a preacher in this church. So I'm right with God as it is. I don't need to go to the altar, and I don't need to spend any time with the Lord. I'm God's man. A dear friend, we stand on a lot of different things, but when we get in God's presence, we ain't nothing, a dear friend. All of our titles slip away. All of our prestige slips away. Our pride must fall, and then we can be blessed of God. David could have said, all right, Nathan, you go back and tell God this. I'm the king. I don't have to go into the presence of God. Now, David looked forward to going. He looked forward to going and spending time. I believe, it ain't the Bible, so you don't, this is just me. It's Atkins theology, and it's probably wrong. But at the same time, I believe he took his royal cloak off, and he took his crown off. And he went in before the Lord and began to talk to him. He's just plain old David now. Just plain old David. He ain't putting on any airs like they say in Alabama. That woman puts on all these airs. Oh, no, not in the presence of God. You might as well not lay your airs down, because God knows your heart already. God knows who you are. God knows what's what in your life. Come to Him humbly. Come to Him and sit in His presence. Unrestrained by ceremony, take it all off and bear yourself in front of a holy and a righteous God. You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. I believe there's a lot of people, though, that their pride won't let them be blessed by the Lord. Pride just won't let them. We talked about a little of that in Sunday school. Pride goeth before a fall. And a lot of people fall because they spend no time with the Lord. Spend no time with Him. The weakest Christian is the one who never reads his Bible. The one who never prays. The one who never tries to follow what the Word's saying, that's the weak one that the devil's going to get one of these days if they're not careful. Pride, unrestrained by ceremony. David humbled himself down and came and said before the king, let me challenge you to do this at some point. Well, every day this week. Well, let's just not make no bones about it. He's God. We ought to worship Him on a daily basis. So every day this week, make some time to study your Bible on your knees in front of God and spend a little time thanking Him. David, when I read this, you know what David was doing in response to what God said? David was, first he was thanking Him, and then he began to praise Him. And dear friend, if you'll spend a little time in the Word of God, and if you'll spend time on your knees thanking God for His goodness, and if you'll spend time on your knees praising Him for who He is, I guarantee you it'll make a difference in your life. Make a big difference in your life. Bring you strength where you had no strength. Bring you help where you had no help. And hope where there was no hope. Because when God comes on the scene and we truly begin to worship Him and spend time at His feet, He gets a hold of our life and He does what He will with our life. But there's another thing I wanted to note, want us to notice. Not that it just was a comfortable place. And if you're not comfortable in the presence of the Lord, you need to come and pray. Because all Christians ought to be comfortable with their Master. The second thing, it was a consenting place. Here was where David was going to consent to the will of God. He had come sat down in the presence of the Lord. He had had a heart to build a house for the Lord. But Ethan talked to the Lord, and the Lord said, I've got other plans for that. One of your children will be doing that. In the meantime, I want you to start thinking about how I've blessed you. And I want you to start thinking about where I brought you from and where I brought you to. And I want you to think about this, that through your lineage, what he's basically saying in these verses of Scripture, through your lineage, the Messiah is coming. The great King is coming. I've blessed you with a greater blessing than that of building a house for me. And let's leave that to your son. And I want you to focus on the blessings that I've given you. And David came and sat before the Lord, and he consented to the will of God. He consented to the sovereignty of God's will. I think a lot of people don't want to spend any time in the presence of the Lord because God makes demands on His children. And He lets us know what His will is for our life. And if we're going to be what we ought to be for Him, we follow it. We do what He says to do. But there's too many self-willed Baptists in the Baptist churches today that they've kicked God out of their life essentially, and they're going to call their own shots regardless of what God says. God could come down and sit down on their living room sofa and say, this is what I want you to do. And they're going to harden their heart, stiffen their neck, and do exactly opposite of what God wants them to do in their life. We don't want to hear from God a lot of times because it means our will might have to crumble. And He may break our will. It's a consenting place. You know, the happiest place for a child of God is in His will. And when we consent to His will, we not only please Him, but we're letting Him know that we invite Him in. And we're letting Him know that He's welcome and His will is foremost in our life. And we want to trust and obey what He has for us to do. It's a consenting place. I wonder if there's somebody here that this morning you couldn't feel the presence of the Lord in your heart because you've not ever consented to the will of God. And when His presence comes, you run the other way because you're afraid it might make a demand on you that you don't want to give in to. Friend, I want to tell you, dear, it's an awful place to be outside of the will of God. It's a sad place, a lonely place outside of the will of God. And you don't want to be there. Consent to the Lordship of Christ. Give Him not just your heart, but give Him every ounce of your being. And watch as He blesses you in His presence. I love to go into the presence of the Lord and spend time. I love to converse with Him. And you may think I'm crazy, but I think sometimes I can almost hear Him speaking back to my heart. I enjoy those times. But there comes a time when the Lord will say, all right, I love you too, Mike. But I want you to sit down and listen. This is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to do it. And here's your scriptural references for doing it. I, the Lord, have told you this is what to do, and this is what you ought to be doing. And then it's up to me. Do I want to continue to have a place in the presence of God, or am I going to willingly turn from it and be miserable? It's a consenting place. It was the place where that David consented to the will of God. He laid aside his plans for building a house for the Lord. Because God said it ain't right, it ain't time. It's just not time. And you're not the one I've chosen. So you just forget that. But let me tell you what I have done for you. Let's just remember what I have done. And so there comes a point in time where we get into that place where we have to consent to the will of God. But he don't come. I notice this, how God starts off speaking to him. In verse number 8, he says, "Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote and from following the sheep to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are on the earth." And then it went on in and where he says, "Moreover," in other words, here's how I've blessed you. And look, more than that, I've done other things for you. I remember one time when I was in a battle, and it was seemed like I was taking shots on every side, and I'd come limping in and fall on my knees before the Lord and wait upon him to come and strengthen. And it got where that it seemed to me that instead of getting easier, the battle was getting harder. And I come to the Lord one night after a particular meeting, and I went into my study, and I bowed on my knees before God. Couldn't say anything, was just weeping before the Lord. And as I was there, I suddenly felt the presence of the Lord. And it was almost like I heard him say, "Remember that pit I dug you out of when I saved you? Do you remember that time when you was lonely and I came and sat with you? Do you remember that time when you was about to give up and I came to where you were and gave you more strength? I did it back then and I'll do it again. You just keep on serving me and doing what I say." I remember that with all my heart, and I believe this is kind of what David was looking at. He wanted so much to build a house, to honor God by building him a house. And when God said no, he didn't just come out and say, no, you ain't going. He said, "David, I know what you want, but listen, remember where you were when I found you. Remember what I did for you, how I've elevated you. Remember those times when the lion and the bear come after those little sheep, and I gave you the strength to take out that bear, to take out that lion. You remember Goliath, how that everybody else was afraid, but it was you that stood for me, and I gave you strength to take care of Goliath." Oh, listen, I believe he was getting David. He was talking to David in intimate terms. And when we get into the presence of God and we submit to his will, and then we can have intimacy with God that rivals nothing else. I love fellowshipping with my wife. I love her company most of the time. I love her company. And there's times when we've had good fellowship together, and it was so sweet. But I want to tell you this, I'd rather spend time in the presence of God than anywhere else I know, because there is where my soul's needs gets met, is in the presence of God. Glenda can only do so much for me. And most of the time, I don't really need what she does. She burns my biscuits, hides my CDs. I apologize, honey. I love you. You know I do. But I enjoy her fellowship. And outside of the Lord, that's who I want to fellowship with. But those times when the Lord comes in, when we've consented our life to his will. Then the last thing I will say about it, it is a comforting place. A comforting, not just, I already said it's a comfortable place. But now I want to say that it's a comforting place. There is a little bit of a difference. It's comfortable. Brother Dave, I love you. And I believe that me and you could sit down around the table and be comfortable with each other's company. Because we're friends. We're brothers in Christ. And we enjoy fellowshipping. And it's a great thing when God's people fellowship. We can derive comfort from that. But there is a friend that's greater than any brother. And when he comes to the table, his presence is so sweet. Whatever I'm struggling with at the time, you know, I just forget it for a while. Just don't even think about it. You know, you might be sitting there and, Lord, what am I going to do? The bills are due. What am I going to do? And suddenly he comes. And then you're saying, how great thou art. How wonderful are you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you're not even thinking about those things that were worrying you just a few minutes ago, because God has come. When he comes, he brings comfort to the hearts and souls of men. There's nothing like fellowshipping with the Lord. There's nothing like feeling his presence, knowing he's there, knowing that he cares, he knows, and he's getting ready to do something in my life and in your life if we'll consent to the will of God and find him to be precious to our souls and get in that place. Sitting in the presence of the Lord. He was sitting there. He wasn't standing there. He was sitting there. That sort of makes me to believe that David sat down and he said, I ain't leaving until I get a blessing. I'm not leaving until I've spoken to my King. And would to God that you and I, as God's people, would look forward to coming into the presence of the Lord. And we felt him this morning. Felt him in the singing, felt him in the, we had testimonies. We felt him with the preacher was preaching. We felt him in the people that were coming down and pouring their souls out before the Lord. There was a sweetness that swept through this place that only God can send. We ought to cherish that enough to be willing to fight for it. Cherish that enough to be willing to spend time on our knees in prayer. You see, we can't fellowship. We can't sit in the presence of God and enjoy his presence until we've consented to the will of God. Now, I know there's a specific will of God, but there's a general will that we all should be following at every moment of every day. God tells us to pray. God tells us to read the Bible. He tells us to witness. He tells us to do these things. And when we do those things, he rewards us with what he gave us this morning. And to those of you that are living for God, I thank God for you. Those of you that are on the fringes, I pray that you get in so you can enjoy the greatness of God's presence when he comes to visit with us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you, Father, for the privilege you've given me to stand and to try to encourage your people. Father, I pray, dear Lord, if there's one here that needs to draw closer to you, for whatever reason, Lord, maybe they've let pride get in the way a little bit. Maybe they just don't have time for you anymore. Lord, I pray that you would deal with their hearts, bring them to an altar of repentance, and help them, dear Father, to consent to the will of God in their life so that they too can know the blessings of your presence. Now, Father, we thank you for all that you're doing, and we give this service to you, thanking you, Lord, for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.